That brings to mind something that's been bothering me this week. I went to church. Many of us went to churches, local churches, in the areas where you are. And how many times? Let me put it differently. During a year's time, how many times do you think you heard even the word salvation or how to be saved? Or that Paul is our apostle, his gospel of salvation is what saves today, any of those things. I can remember hearing sermons on preservation of the saints, eternal security, tithing. and it's really a problem when I'm starting to go the other way, that they're not churches of Christ, that they're like 2 Corinthians, what is it, 12:11? No, that's about signs. What is it, where he talks about the ministers of Satan in the pulpits or whatever. There's a massive error being taught because they're not going by the scriptures. They're going by what Constantine and his cohorts put into effect back in, 225 A.D. or 325 A.D. And those that broke away didn't break very far away, didn't reform very much, not enough. I mean, there's so much, almost anything. All right, I don't want to get down that trail too far. There we go. Thank you, Lori. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. As the ministers of righteousness, not being ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. All right, well, let me get my notes out here. I think we'll go ahead and talk about the... Oh, I did want to say also, tomorrow, I think I mentioned one time, I said I think as the room was closing maybe, that we're not going to meet tomorrow. I plan on meeting with those that can meet together tomorrow. I won't be having a lesson like this, like it's supposed to be. But we'll be listening to Byron Wiggins' conference, like Jerry was talking about. And I'll tune in. It'll be an hour early that we'll start. So that would be like 2 hours before the current time. We'll open the room and listen to Gilbert Shellen will be the first speaker, speaking about, I hope it's something to do with the two sendings, but I don't know, the two sendings of Paul. So, let's continue on with part three, the final part, I hope we can finish it, of why Israel fell, Israel's fall, blinding, casting away. We know from Israel's scriptures, this is part three, okay, of when, about Israel's fall, not necessarily when, but about it, why it happened. And we know from the Word of God that God gave signs so that Israel would believe. And we can look in Numbers 14, verse, hold on a minute here. I want to post this on YouTube, so let's start over. I didn't have the recorder running. But we can tell this is part three of Israel's fall. And you can tell from the scriptures that God gave signs, and we'll see that in this verse, Numbers 14:11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? And these verses here in Isaiah, that's a different passage. Isaiah 8, verses 13 through 18, stretch out the description of Israel's fall, like 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3 stretches out Paul's visit there to Thessalonica and his expulsion and sending back Timothy and their later believing the gospel of Christ to be saved after hearing Timothy three times in chapter 2. There's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, three times it's pronounced that they heard the gospel of God, not the gospel of Christ. That came first. So this Isaiah 8, verses 13 to 18, stretch out the description of Israel's fall and its diminishing more than the passage in Isaiah 6 that God had Paul use to cast them away at the end of Acts, the last half chapter of Acts there. It would be Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10 is what Paul read, but it goes, the prophecy goes through 12, at least. I'm trying to think if that's 12. I think 12 is the last, not 13. But both of them describe the process and the accompanying events. The verses from Isaiah 8, that's if you look after those that we mentioned before, verses 19 through 22, they prophesy Israel's plight after God blinds them and casts them away, after their years of diminishing described in Acts 8 through Acts 28, the diminishing during the dispensation of the gospel, dispensing this new gospel of Christ that Paul had received from Christ, not by man, not from man, not taught it by man, but received it from Christ. Those two signs, I didn't say that clearly, and more than two signs, those true signs, they stopped, they ceased when God blinded and cast away Israel. After Israel was gone, no signs. During this current period, Israel can still come to God. Israelites can still come to God too, individually. But they can only do so as Paul did, as a sinner, instead of coming to him as one that keeps the Mosaic law. Paul was the chief of sinners. That word chief, it means head of the line or first one in. It's the same word as first in the next verse, in verse 16. So we're talking about 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul was the chief of sinners, and the word means the first one in line or head of the line. In corporations or in some churches, they have a point man. That's the front guy, the head. Paul was first one into the body of Christ, coming as a bankrupt sinner, not so much financially bankrupt, but just not having any righteousness to offer God. I mean, he stood knowing he was condemned, knowing he had killed innocent people because they spoke the words of the Holy Ghost. So he knew he was deserving condemnation, but receiving God's saving grace. By faith, not by anything he did. What he did was to go the opposite way of what he should. If he had gone the right way, he still needed to be saved by God's grace, and was saved by God's grace. That means that God brought Israel down to our level. They needed to be saved like Paul was. For a Jew to come to God, he must deny any benefits of being born a Jew and come to God with no hope of salvation other than the grace that God offers by having died for our sins and risen again for our justification. It's not an extra step, what I just mentioned, that he must deny any benefit of being born a Jew. It's like you and I, Gentiles, we go along before we're saved, and we go to church hoping that that'll help us get saved. We help people that are in need. We form nonprofit charities to help people. We, you know, do all these kind of things hoping that we'll be good enough and God won't drop us into hell. That's the same thing. We have to switch our hopes of salvation from things we do, the way we behave, all those kind of things, switch it to what Christ did, believing that his death for my sins paid them all. They're all gone. They're not hanging on to me anymore and dragging me down to hell. Not only that, but I was born dead in sins, dead in trespasses. That's the way I was from birth till I received Christ as my Savior, and then he quickens us. Ephesians 2:1. I'm getting off the notes, so let's get back to the thing about Israel. After Israel's fall, Christ saved Saul of Tarsus by his new pattern of salvation for sinners by grace, God's grace, through faith and without works. Not of works, it says in verse 9. Then the Holy Spirit gifted some gospel of Christ believers. Those believers that believe the gospel of Christ, like we do, gifted them with signs, which none of the gospel of the grace of God believers were gifted. Those of us that are later after that dispensation, we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. Those gospel of Christ believers back then were given gifts like tongues to provoke Israel to jealousy, it says in Romans 11, and so to emulate those who had believed the gospel of Christ preached by Paul. That was Paul's job, part of Paul's job. The Lord Jesus Christ had saved Paul and inspired him with revelations, several, many actually, abundance of revelations they're called in the Bible, and to preach, inspired him to preach and to write. And we know that from Galatians 1, 11, and 12. Christ sent body of Christ prophets, whom he had gifted to understand all mysteries and all knowledge. The purpose of those body of Christ prophets was to acknowledge that the things that I, Paul, write unto you are the commandments of the Lord, and to profess him. At that time, Christ also sent body of Christ teachers to instruct, sometimes called instructors, and to publish and to teach others also the inspired, acknowledged, and professed revelations from Christ to Paul, to us. Some of those body of Christ teachers, instructors and teachers that Christ gave at that time were gifted to teach Paul's gospel to foreign-speaking, disbelieving Jews. Jews brought up in other lands where they didn't know Hebrew. Their first language was whatever that other land was they came from, Libya or wherever else. And they were disbelievers. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Well, these gifts were to teach the gospel that Paul preached, the gospel by which we're saved, teach it to these foreign-speaking, disbelieving Jews. And that was called tongues. Those stipulations are put on that. That's what the gift was. It was an evangelical gift. I mean, a salvation type thing. Jewish evangelism. Those gifts for Israel, given to the body of Christ, they all ceased when there was no more foreign-speaking apostate Jews that had not heard the new gospel of Christ that was being circulated in the perfect, completed Word of God, the canon. Notice the heresies that will be present during Israel's blindness when God has declared them not my people. During Israel's current lo am I period, after the true signs given to the body of Christ had ceased, lying signs would be abundant from the source of lies. Look at Isaiah 8, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. Okay? Not in the body of Christ. Those signs and wonders are in Israel, it says at the end there. Christ sent the body of Christ to witness to diminishing Israel in that way back then, during the dispensation of the gospel. But these signs and wonders in this verse are in Israel, by Israel's converted believers in Israel's kingdom gospel, the gospel of the kingdom out of heaven being at hand. That was the at hand, the gospel. There was good news or gospel about a kingdom ever since Exodus 19 verses 5 and 6, but the news that John the Baptist brought and Jesus himself and also Peter in Acts there, they all brought the message, not Peter, excuse me, but John the Baptist and Jesus brought the message that that kingdom, that promised and prophesied kingdom, was at hand. It was available, and they could grasp it by believing. Believing what? Believing who he was, that he was the Messiah. Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, and that he would rise from the dead, or that he had risen from the dead if they were after the resurrection. So, let's look at that verse again, Isaiah 8, 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Now you have to understand, or you have to know, Israel's scriptures, have read them and studied them, and Israel's law. You have to read back their Leviticus, Deuteronomy. You know, we're not just reading Paul's epistles. We want a background. Paul talks about Israel in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And how do we know about Israel? Well, read God's Word. Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Let's look at, we'll look in Leviticus 20. But they're the furthest thing from God, these familiar spirits and wizards. They're the ones that kept leading Israel astray into idolatry and other gods. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And the soul that turneth away, excuse me, the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among his people. So they were excommunicated there. That's a recent word. I guess I shouldn't use that. they were cut off from among his people. 2 Kings 23, verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols. See how they're all lumped together there? And all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away. Great revival then. That he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book. We have that book. The book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. We have it in the King James Bible. You can tell they're the furthest thing from God. They're the ones that kept Israel kept leading Israel astray. Let's put it that way. Now at this point, Isaiah is talking about cast away Israel through the years without a God. He said, "Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto the wizards that peep and that mutter." And you can see that going on all the time. They call it tongues today, but there's no tongues today given by the Holy Spirit. Those tongues that were back then were for Israel before they were cast away. But Israel has been cast away at the end of the book of Acts. So we have to find how to come to God, and that's by God's epistle, Christ's apostle of the Gentiles, of us. He's apostle from sent out by Christ to us. And let's keep reading, I think, in Isaiah 8 there. We'll pick up at verse 20. And that's still after God had blinded and cast away Loami Israel. Verse 20. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. According to Isaiah 8, verse 16, which we read earlier, the law still applied to Christ's disciples, but here in Isaiah 8, verse 20, we see that apostates will disregard the law and the testimony, which were given to be a witness against Israel. A witness against. That's why the law was given. Look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 26. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. So they had the law, but they didn't keep it. Okay, why is it that they speak not according to this testimony, this law and the testimony? It's because there is no light in them. John 11, verse 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Apostate Israel had been blinded, and they'd been cast away. Let's go on in verse 20 and then down to verse 22 in Isaiah 8. to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. Verse 22, and they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness and dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Well, these verses of prophecy of the long darkness that we witness today, even, that Israel has gone through since their blinding and casting away at the end of Acts. God has cut them off. He has cast them away, and they're not now God's people. God said, I will not be their God. That's hard to hard to comprehend. What if God was not your God? So I don't want to leave this in a bleak state, bleak condition, status here. Let's read that prophecy, which is in Hosea 1:9, and continue on then. Hosea 1:9, then said God, call his name, Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be, notice that's future tense still, shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered, measured, nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. No replacement there, is it? It's the ones that were removed that are put back in. Just like in the olive tree. Hosea 1:10, that verse we just read there, it prophesies that there will be a regathering coming. God himself is going to make all this happen. He will make Israel turn their... let me put that differently. He will make it possible for Israel to turn their hearts to the Lord. He'll make that an available choice that wasn't before he changes things. In the future, Israelites today generally have hearts full of pride. Their attitude is that we're Jews. We don't need a Savior. We have, you know, we've got our God. With a small g, probably, most of them. Jews, by keeping their religion, are not saved. Okay, they have to be just like everybody else. You're only saved if you trust that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, just as Paul said our gospel is. Israel is ignoring the facts of Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. And Acts 7, and Acts 28. In Matthew 12, 31 and 32, Christ foretold what Israel's unforgivable sin would be, which would fell Israel as God's people. They would fall out of being God's people. Today, Israel is between Hosea 1:9, being called not God's people, and Hosea 1:10, being called God's people again. They're not called God's people anymore, and not yet, but they will be. They're Lo am I. Now, you are not my people, God said, and they're not yet again the sons of the living God. We in the body of Christ are not in the prophecies. Not in any prophecies. We're not in Hosea 1:9 or 1:10 or in between. We can tell what that's, you know, that it's between those two events. But one has happened. Verse 9, there, Lo am I, it happened. And verse 10 awaits when Christ returns. We're We are already raptured by that time. If the body of Christ were in Israel's prophecies, that's where we would be, between Hosea 1:9 and Hosea 1:10. The absence of any reference to the body of Christ between Hosea 1:9 and 1:10 proves that Israel is, put it this way, that Israel and the body of Christ are different entities, different groups. Israel being in prophecy, the body of Christ not being in prophecy, but being only in the mystery. And we'll stop right there. I think that covers it. We'll probably have more to add at another time, but that concludes the lesson. Comments? Questions?